Let me see. If you're a guy, you need to sign up for our camping trip. It's not this Friday, but next Friday. Now, this weekend is Labor Day weekend, the end of summer. Everybody just hated me when I said that, but it's not really the end of summer, but kind of. But sign up next Friday. We're just going one night. Anybody can camp for one night. Anybody can camp for one night. You know, they're waving in the back. I forgot something. Maybe you came tonight and you wanted to give and you weren't able to give. I got to remember to do this. We've had so many of you respond. This week we had more people give online than we've ever had. If you want to give online, you can go right to, we did. So if you want to give online, if it's easier for you, go to the website. You can click on donate, because sometimes we just, you know, we're in a hurry to get to church, and sometimes maybe you forget or whatever. And you want a purpose in your heart. You want a plan to give. And maybe you prayed about something even during this service and you want to get on when you get home. Get on there. You can give. There's a service we offer. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can give right there online. But guys, sign up. Go camping. We've got some information out there, too, that we just placed out there. We're going to be talking more and more about this over the next few weeks as people come back from summer vacation and start to plug in. We have five small group, Relate groups, that are going to be kicking off this fall. We've got some other groups that we're going to talk about that we have that we offer here at church. And there's another breakfast. We're going to start a men's breakfast. There's about 10, really, there are 10, not about, but 10 opportunities for you to get plugged in to some kind of a small group, to get mentored and to help mentor other people and really just continue to become more of a disciple of Jesus Christ. But we have really great cards out there. They say Relate on the front. On the back, you have choices of five different groups that you can be part of. Pick one or go to a couple. It don't matter. You can't get too much of the Holy Ghost. You can't get too much of fellowship with other believers. So check it out. There's a display out there. Get involved in what God's got going on. If you're a new believer, we've got a sign up back there for something we're calling Real Basics First Steps. This one is real basic stuff about becoming a believer and being a believer. If you're a relatively new believer, or maybe you've been a believer for a while and you just don't really understand what it is God wants you to do as part of the body of Christ, it'd be a good place to start. So sign up back there. That's going to be starting in several weeks. All right. Tonight we're going to continue our Wednesday series that we titled Problems Are, and we're learning together that problems are reminders that we need God's help, obstacles that can be overcome, blessings in disguise, if you will, lessons, if we'll take time to learn them. You're going to have to get me another mic or something, man, or another battery, I don't know. Lessons, if we take time to learn them. They are everywhere. How many ever notice that? The problems just pop up everywhere. You don't have to look for them. They find you. Come on. Some people look for problems, but I don't know why, because there's plenty of them. But they're messages, and most of all, problems are solvable. Life's full of them, and so we need to have the right perspective, right priorities, and have the right path to get on. And we've been looking at some different things that God wants us to learn as we're either going through a problem or we're going to face a problem, because we're either in one or we're going to come across one. And there's things that we need so that we can get through this problem and get the most effectiveness. So some of us, it may sound kind of weird to talk this way about a problem, but you want to use your problem to your advantage. You do. You really do. And that's what the Bible teaches us. When we use a problem to our advantage, we grow spiritually. And so we've been talking about passion, which helps us handle the pressures in life. We've looked at patience that helps us handle the people in life. Come on, somebody. And last week we started looking at peace that helps us handle the problems in life. And last week we talked about peace, but this week I want to talk more about peace and give you a little more information. We left off last week with John 14:27. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain over there. It says, peace, is this still crackling, or is it just me hearing that? Does it sound okay? It's good? All right. He says this, John 14:27, we left with this, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And last week, we spent quite a bit of time, I encourage you to get online, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 12. And really, God revealed, I had two people come in my office this week and say, you know, you were talking to me last week. And it kind of carried over into Sunday, and so there was a little bit of this on Sunday service too. But God is showing us that we can have idols in our lives, things that we turn to for peace. Things, and if we turn to something, and over the past couple of weeks we've made this remark several times, whatever it is, listen carefully, when you have time on your hands, wherever your mind wanders is what you worship. I'm not trying to tell you shouldn't plan a trip to Hawaii. If that's on your heart and you want to do that, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about whenever you have downtime, whenever, you know, you're constantly wandering to something or going for something and it brings you peace, that could very well be and probably is an idol in your life. And we talked about that last week because problems can steal our peace. And when we start to turn to the wrong things, we really aren't getting the kind of peace that Jesus wants us to have, because peace that comes in the kingdom of heaven comes from knowing God. Galatians 4:9, he says, "But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage?" And so many things can get us in bondage. We, in fact, can become a slave to the world, all right? Let me just say this. If all you can think of is what God needs to do for you, you don't believe he loves you, you don't know him the way he wants to know you, and you are not in faith. I'll say it again. If all you can think of is what God needs to do for you, you don't believe that he loves you. You don't know him the way he wants you to know him, and you're certainly not in faith. And so many of us spend our whole Christian walk, well, God, you need to do this, or you better do this, or this is going to happen. You know, God is not nervous. It's the truth. He's not nervous. When you told him about your problem, wasn't the first time he found out about it. All right? 1 John 2:4, I want to read a couple of verses that are going to help us. Because really, peace comes in him. Say in him. We did a lot of that last Wednesday if you were here, because we really need to be in Christ. And that's where peace comes. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 4. "He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, I know most of us, I'm going to stop there, because most of us just went, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, don't commit adultery. That's what we all went through, the Ten Commandments, at least as many of them as we could. That is not what we're talking about tonight. All right, I'm going to show you this. I'm going to show you something. Let me just say this. I had a conversation. Trisha and I had a great breakthrough the other night, and just talking to a friend of ours that we've been praying for, and, you know, just discipling about the ways of Christ until they become a believer, and they're going to become one. They're getting so close. But we had this conversation. I said, you know, so many times we think that God wants us to do this, this, and that, and then we'll be okay with him. And we said this, and a lot of Christians don't have this revelation. You cannot keep the Ten Commandments. Just take the Ten Commandments, and there's more than that. You cannot keep them. And that's the purpose of those, is to show you that. Even the ten of them, I'll tell you, go through them when you get home. If you don't know them all, you go through them, and I guarantee you, you have broken at least one at some point in your life, probably multiples. Somebody said, I broke them all. I know, I'm with you, okay? So have I. Almost. I haven't murdered anybody. Everything else on that list, I've done it. All right? But the Bible says even if you think to murder your brother, you've done it in your heart. And I've done that a lot of times. Come on. All right? You can't keep it. So that can't be what he's talking about. All right? But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Say in him. How many want to know that they're in him? All right. He says, he who says he abides in him ought to also walk just as he walked. Now look at 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. You know, our part of the bargain is just to believe on Jesus. Jesus believed that Father God was in him. That prayer we just prayed, John 17. You got to believe that you are one in Christ and that Jesus has made you right with God. And he says, we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just like the word that came. And as he gave us commandment, verse 24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The commandment that God has given is to believe on his son, Jesus Christ. If you go and you look at John, I think it's John chapter 6. Someone help me out if I'm wrong. Where Jesus is transfigured, I think it's John 6. I'm not going to turn there. I'm pretty sure that's it. Where Jesus is transfigured, and there they are, and he's standing there with Elijah and Moses, I think it is. Is that right? Elijah and Moses. And Peter gets this great idea. Let's build some tabernacles or tents or whatever. Let's worship. And that's where God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. All right? Obey him. Listen to what he says. And so the commandment that you and I, the commandments, is really to believe on the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, love your brother as yourself, and you'll keep the commandments. Now, you won't keep it in yourself, but you'll keep it because you're abiding in Jesus. Let me take this further. Look at this. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Listen, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but what? He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now that sounds so simple, and sometimes we just breeze through these and say, oh yeah, that's about getting saved. No, that's about living a victorious life. The only way you can have real peace is to abide in Jesus. To abide in Jesus. And that, believe it or not, that takes some work. Because you need to seek him. You need to be running it. And most Christians spend very little time in the presence of God. Most Christians, the only presence of God that we get is when we're in a church service. And sometimes we don't even get it there. Sorry to say. But really, running after him, abiding in him, seeking him, making him first. Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, Jesus made it real simple. Seek, 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 hunger and thirst after him. All right? Now, you may be asking, well, how can we have peace when things aren't perfect? You're thinking, I'm supposed to have peace in my life. You're saying, if I abide in Jesus, I've kept the commandments of God. I'm right with God. Now I abide in his love. Well, how can I have peace when things aren't perfect? Well, I'm going to give you a recipe for peace tonight that's going to help you to abide in him, that's going to help you believe him, that's going to help you stay in faith, and to stop just thinking about all the things that God needs to do in your life. Because, listen, you're not going to get true peace even if he changed all those things in your life that were not the way you wanted them to be. The only way that true peace comes is in him. Say in him. And that is so important, and most Christians don't get this. Matter of fact, most Christians run from church service to church service, sometimes church to church, and we've talked about that. You don't date the body of Christ. You're married to it. God calls you to a church. You stay there until he moves you on. And if he moves you on, it's done properly and in order, and your leadership and pastor or whatever is part of that. Right? And so many times people just, I want to go, and then we go to this conference and this concert and that concert. And those are all good. That stuff, you know, there's nothing wrong with conferences, nothing wrong with concerts. Got a great concert coming up this Saturday and Sunday night. All right? There's information out there on the table. Just a wonderful event. Free, invite somebody and go. But I guarantee you there are many people in the body of Christ. I'm just going to say this. That Saturday night they'll go to that concert. Well, that was church, and they won't go to church Sunday morning. I say, well, Pastor, that's their fault for planning the event. No, that's the people's fault who don't go to church the next day. Why shouldn't we should have events? But that's not church. That's a church event that could be an outreach if you used it properly. But even if it's not an outreach, it can be something that will minister to you and help you be more full of Jesus. But then you go to church really to be part of what God's doing in your local body, to plug in. We've talked about this on Sundays because I don't want to preach that whole message again. But plug in to be a part of what God has for me, to bring my tithe and offering, to be a part of what God. I mean, all those things, and to worship God are so important. But the problem is most people, you know, that's the only peace that they receive is when they go to a service and they jump all over the place and they still don't have true peace. I mean, I know so many people. They go to this, they go to that, they go to all these things we're talking about, and I'm telling you, their life is falling apart. They have no true peace. And those are usually the ones, they run around, they tell people they're Christians, and people go, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be that. Sorry to say. We need true peace, all right? Because true peace, I mean, I have to go back again, and I am not bragging on myself. This is all God, and any of you that know me, good, you know that I don't stand up here and just brag about myself every time we get together, because this has nothing to do with me other than the fact that I'm submitted to God. And this person I mentioned that Trish and I have just been sharing the gospel with and have a relationship with, every time we see her, she's like, she cannot wait. I mean, we go, oh, it like makes her day, you can tell. I'm going to tell you why. It's because of the peace. It's because there's something in us that she sees that she wants. Even if they don't know that they want it right away, they know there's something in you, and they're drawn to it. I'm going to tell you, that's how your life should be. That's how your life should be. You know, I just talked with somebody today that's seeing that happen in their life. And, you know, if you live that way and the joy of the Lord is bubbling out of you, you'll be praying for people. You'll have opportunities for people. God will break people's hearts around you. It's wonderful. Many of you know what I'm talking about. But here's a recipe for peace tonight. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right? Abiding in Him, staying in Him, believing on the commandments of God, which is to believe Jesus Christ, to love one another. But He'll guard our hearts. Peace begins when you know that you're loved. If you don't believe, it's like we said before, I want to repeat this because it's good enough to repeat. If all you can think of is what God needs to do for you, you don't believe that He loves you. If that's all, if your prayer life is always thinking of all the things God should do in your life that would make your life right, you don't believe that you're loved. You need to believe He's already met everything that you need and realize that everything that you need is found in Him. Say in Him. I mean, that is a key, and we can't say this enough because we've got to get it. Love will guard your heart. And let me just say this. We probably said it before, but I'm going to say it again. Your heart cannot be trusted. Your fleshy heart, apart from Jesus, cannot be trusted. I mean, there's all these songs written about following your heart. And, you know, and well-meaning mothers have told their daughters, well, honey, just follow your heart. And many times you get into a relationship, it's like, Mama told me wrong. And the Bible tells us not to. Matter of fact, I didn't have this on my notes, but I want to read this. Jeremiah 17:9. I want to read this to you. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read in the New King James. It says this. New King James Version, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The only way that you can really have a heart change is to let God in and change it. Because your heart cannot be trusted. Matter of fact, this is the New Living Testament, Proverbs 28. Some of you read this today. Proverb, if you follow, one of my suggestions is to read a proverb a day, which keeps the devil away. Proverbs 28, and let's read this in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 28:26, look at this. This is good. Oops, touched it wrong there. Those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom, this is a newer translation. I have a is it the NLT that I want? Let me find another one here. Well, it's verse 26. I know it says their own insight. There's one translation that says those who trust their own heart are foolish. Is it King James that puts it that way? It's New King James. So let's read New King James. I knew I read it. I just put the wrong. There it is. So 28:26. Yeah, he who trusts his own heart is a fool. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Nan. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. And the only way to get wisdom is to let God pour His heart into your heart. And so many Christians, we're just living by our natural heart. Well, how do I know? Because people say, well, I feel this and I felt that. I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to shock some of us. Just this week I've had this happen, but I've had this happen multiple times. There's something I would want to do because I have compassion on somebody. Because you can have natural compassion and you can have the compassion of the Lord. They're two different things. And some of you are going, what the heck is he talking about? Because you don't take time to understand all three parts of who you are. Spirit, soul, body. All right? Your soul is crazy. Your spirit's saved. Your body is crazier than your soul. Okay? But your mind, your will, and emotions can have compassion. I've had times where I just want to give and help people. And there's times the Lord says, nope, time to stop. How many remember the story of the prodigal son? What did the father do? He gave him everything. He said, that's it. You can have it. And if we're not used to discerning between our heart and the heart of the Lord, we'll just keep following our heart and keep following our heart and keep following our heart. And many times we just get further and further away from what God has for us. Because your heart will always move in the direction that makes it feel the best. Oh, my heart, you know, I feel so good. And you can't be led of the Spirit like that. It's impossible. It really is. It will mess you up. Now, your emotions are good. And Trish and I, you know, we've been married for 25 years. We've been together for almost 27 years. And emotion, my heart does this. I love being around her. But there's times where I have to get God's heart, her more than me. Come on. Now, most of the time, I'm just Twitter-pated. Isn't that the word? You know. Okay, Andy, like you've never seen Bambi. I know you're just a tough guy. That, you know. But I've seen you cry, so I know. But I have you can have both. All right? There's times, I can remember there's times that we, you know, and Trish has had to do this with me, where you have to have tough love even when you're spouse. You know, there was a time Trish went through something really rough, and I'd wanted to help her, but God said no. If part of the problem was she had to learn how to trust God and not me. Again, well, I knew if I said that, she'd get up here and tell me where I was wrong. No, she'd just confirm it. No.
I do just want to confirm that he's correct as usual, being led by the Lord. When he's led by the Lord, you know. During worship, I had this strong word. I thought, do I share? And then God was moving and had different things. And even now, as he's sharing, it's like, for me and many of us, you know, our heart can be a dangerous thing. And for so many years, even as a Christian, I would follow my heart, not understanding God's love for me, his perfect love to direct me by the Holy Spirit. My issue was control. So there's areas in our heart. I feel many of us here tonight during worship even, there are areas in our heart that we are trying to protect, that we are trying to control, that we don't even trust God enough to let him in, because there have been areas you have been so wounded and so hurt that you're like, I ain't letting anybody near that. I ain't letting God in that, because everybody's hurt me. Everybody's let me down. God, where were you? Whatever it is that we're struggling with, it was control. And for many, many, many years of my Christian walk, there were just this little things in my heart. And when I was going through this situation, I had to repent a few years ago, I think, or maybe it was not even that long ago. And I told my husband, for so many years, I looked to him as my savior. You know, we can look at our spouse, or we can look at our job, or we can look at our kids. And he is awesome, yes. But we can look to these things to be our salvation, when Jesus needs to be the one who is fully saving us, fully filling us. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian walking with the Lord, there are things in your heart that you have got to give to him so that he can fully use you, so we can be used, especially in the last days when he's saying, go here, go there, don't go here, don't go there. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him, the greater one who lives inside of us.
Matter of fact, let me just say this, and we've mentioned it before, but I want to say it here. She said, go here, go there. Jesus even taught us we got to follow peace, the house of peace, person of peace, whatever you want to call it, when you're witnessing with people. Some people won't receive the message you have. Doesn't mean you don't share it. You need to share it, but you need to know who so you can have success. Come on, somebody. I'd rather have success, all right? She just came up here and shared that. I had this written in my notes, and I'm going to read it. Don't let the circumstance cause you to doubt the Father's love. There's confirmation right there, because she didn't see my notes. Matter of fact, today, usually she checks my notes. She didn't have time, so I just checked them myself. So if they're wrong, it's my fault, but it's Trisha's fault, because she didn't have time to help me. All right. Let me just say this. This will be a revelation for many of us, I think. You can't have peace if you're preoccupied with yourself. Perfect love, the Bible says, casts out all fear, and that's what peace, really where peace will come from. And when you love yourself, that's not perfect love, and it will not cast out peace. You might be able to manipulate things and get some kind of peace some of the time, but it will be a false peace. And at some point, God's going to want to break you free of that, and it may not be as easy as you think. So you better learn how to get his peace so you're not confused. This is heavy stuff tonight, but this is good stuff. So many times we say, well, things are going good. Hey, you know, got it made in the shade. Got my shades on, you know, looking so cool. I got to wear sunglasses or whatever that ZZ Top song goes. Yeah, who knows? Got to buy some shades of cheap sunglasses. See, it's a song. Right. There's a song for everything. Let me just say this. Meeting the needs of others puts your problem in focus. And that's why we continually say to live your life on a mission. Live your life. Okay, God, who am I going to witness to today? Who can I help today? Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. What I want to do is I want to read these next few verses leading up to verse 7 that we started this with, talking about the peace of God, which will keep our hearts and minds. And he comes, he says, he writes to them, and Paul is writing, he says, my beloved or beloved, longed-for brethren, my joy, my crown, stand fast in the Lord. Love releases you from unrealistic expectations. You need to know that you are beloved in the Lord. You need to know that God loves you. Love will release you from performance-based acceptance. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness. I'll read both those again. Love will release you from unrealistic expectations. It releases you from performance-based acceptance. Love will release you from the need to conform to a set of rules. That's why so many religious institutions would rather just keep some rules and regulations and look good on the outside, because honestly, that's easier in a lot of ways. It really is. It's not an easier way to get to the heart of God, because it'll never get you there. But it is easier for the flesh to live that way. And you've heard it said before, not just me, but I know other preachers. Yeah, I know you've heard it, because it's pretty common. It's an understanding. Your flesh loves to do bad things and then do good things to pay for the bad things. It does. All right? I mean, so many people are so messed up. Maybe somebody here tonight. You're so messed up in this area that when something good happens to you, you're already looking for something bad to happen. Yeah. Yep. And the problem is, you've allowed yourself to trust your natural nature. I want to say this respectfully because I want you to understand, I want to help you. You've been afraid, like Trish said, to let God in, to let God really start to lead you and guide you. And so you've built up this mechanism that you're like, okay, something good's happening. I like good things, but I know something's bad happened, so I'm going to prepare myself because I got to get through this. You might get through some things that way, but you really won't know God's peace. And as soon as something doesn't work out or someone does something wrong, and let me just tell you, things won't work out and someone will do something wrong. You lose the little bit of peace that you have. Peace is a revelation of his love. You need to understand tonight that if things don't work out in your life, it has nothing to do with God's loving you or not. Didn't we just read the commandment of God is to believe on Jesus Christ? Didn't Jesus Christ make you right with God? Matter of fact, we're not going to turn there tonight because we don't have time. But read Jeremiah chapter 31, right around verse 33 or so. It talks about the new covenant, that I'll put my laws in their heart and in their mind. That's God's part. But then our part is to believe that your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's your part, is to believe you're right with God. If you believe on Jesus Christ tonight, you are right as you're ever going to be. Matter of fact, if you look in Hebrews, gosh, we don't have time, but I wish we did. Well, we don't have time to turn there, because I don't want to. But there's a scripture in Hebrews that people use to say, see, people can fall away and be saved once and not be saved again. The Bible is showing us that there can't be a sacrifice for sins that's beyond what Jesus has already done. So stop thinking you're not forgiven. That's what the Bible's teaching. There's not another sacrifice. There's nothing else that could be done. It's either this, either you're saved by your own works, which you can't be, or you're saved by Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, it's impossible to renew yourself again and crucify Jesus Christ all over again. It says, so there's a certain fear of falling into the wrath of God. So what he's saying, he is saying, and again, we don't have time to turn. Maybe we'll pick it up next week with this. But what he's telling us there is that you and I have got to realize that it's either Jesus or the wrath of God. There's nothing else. So what do you want? Do you want the wrath of God? Then don't believe. But if you believe, the wrath of God cannot be yours because you're believing in Jesus Christ. That's how sure the love of God is. And don't you let anyone take that away from you. Don't let your own foolish thinking take that away from you. Say, but Pastor, I got drunk last night. I don't care. Don't get drunk. Don't misunderstand me. Please don't drive. Okay? But stop beating yourself up. Because you're not going to be free until you realize he just wants you to want him more than that drink. I know. I was addicted to drugs, alcohol. I know what I'm talking about. I couldn't quit. I could cut back a little bit and hide it real good and be miserable when I wasn't drinking or getting high. And all I think about is, okay, how am I going to get over there to get that stash or get that over there, get away where nobody's around? And then finally, relief. But then it would go away. Until I really allowed him to be everything to me, I couldn't stop living that way. But once I allowed him to be everything, the desires start to go away. Oh, gosh. Is there a lot of kids in children's church? Does anybody know? Are there a lot of children back there? Everything's all right? I'm going to go just a few more minutes then because I want to keep you along. Here, I'm going to get to one more thing because I want to get to the word that Mark smoked. Mark, stop smoking that word, man. Actually, you know what? Come on. Stop. That's right. Stop smoking weed and start smoking word. Come on, somebody. It gives the meaning up in smoke a whole new thing, doesn't it? It's like, fire God, come and burn me. I need to smoke. No. Oh, my goodness. It's fun tonight. Okay, remember, we're reading in Philippians, which is leading up to verse 7, talking about peace of God superseding everything, giving us what we really need. Remember, that's where we're at. So we're reading up to that. We just read verse 1. Now let's read verse 2. He says, I implore you, whatever their name is, and I implore you, the other person, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, here's what the Living Bible says, and we don't have to turn to it. I don't think we have this translation, but the Living Bible says, I implore Kathy and Cynthia, let's just change their names. It says this, to quarrel, listen, Living Bible says, to quarrel no more, but be friends again. So, we're living our lives the way we're describing tonight. We got these walls built up. We get a little bit of peace sometimes, but we really don't know the peace of God because we've learned how to get peace. And so then somebody mistreats us. And understand, these are two women who are working with Paul to really establish the church, to present the gospel, to make disciples. And now something's come between them. And his writing is saying, you need to become friends and get past this. If you want the peace of God to supersede and to do this, you have to get past this. See, that's why sometimes we talk about relationships in church and some of us check out and say, oh, God doesn't really understand. Look, it's always been like this. It's no different. These little quarrels are what keep people from the presence of God in their lives. Okay? He says, quarrel no more, be friends again. Verse 3, I urge you also, true companion. I love the way he's writing here. The love of God is just oozing out of his words. Do you see that? true companion. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. See, there's only one answer, and that's to be of one mind, to have peace with one another, and to have peace with God. And so what was that word again that you read tonight, Mark? It was right talking about this. What was that out of? Give me the scripture. What was it? Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. What translation was that? That's the Mark translation. Okay, NIV, non-inspired version. Okay, let's read Ephesians.
Hey, I'm a baby.
Let's read, no, this is good. They're all good. Ephesians 2, you said?
Yeah, Ephesians 4.
Oh, 4, see? 4 verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. All right? That was the word God gave us. Listen, I believe there's some of us here tonight who have allowed a relationship issue to really just either start to build a wall or put one more brick on the wall. Because all in all, it's just a brick in the wall. I had to say it. I had to. We don't. Okay, I'm not going to do it. But do you understand? There's a lot of wisdom in that song, by the way. Really, it's we just build these walls up and we make people think certain ways. Religion has done a very good job of building walls the way that Pink Floyd album talks about education, because what we've done is we have enforced the fact that God wants a bunch of rules and regulations out of us, and you know that's a lie. Think about it. Let's go way back to the garden. Did God really say? See, he wants to quit. The devil wants to get in, and he wants to build all these different rules and regulations on what God really said and twist it. And a lot of us believe it, but there's many of you here tonight, or maybe not many, but some of you, you've allowed a relationship or a series of relationships where you just don't, you now don't trust people very much. And if you don't trust people, you don't trust God. I'm saying this because I love you. And the first thing you thought when I said that is, Pastor, that's a lie. No, it's not a lie. Okay? If you don't believe people love you, you don't believe God loves you. The Bible says that if you say you love people whom you can't see, or if you say you love God who you can't see, but you don't love people who you do see, then you're a liar and the truth is not in you. So take that verse and apply that principle. The principle is, and that's why it's so important to have fellowship in the body of Christ. That's why the writers of the New Testament talk about forgiveness like we see here so much. Some people even say, well, I love God, but I don't need the church. That is so wrong. That's like saying, well, I love God, but I hate his wife. It's like if somebody were to come to me and say, well, Pastor Tony, I really like you, but I cannot stand Trish. If we get together, could it just be you and me? I'd say, no, we ain't getting together. Hello? Listen. Now, God loves you, but what happens is we build up these walls where now we can't even get through to God. Doesn't mean he doesn't care about you. You might even hear his voice sometimes. I'm sure you do. But what you've done is you've built up these walls and you're convinced that somebody's done something, and you can't trust people. You've got to start to look at people and realize they're broken, and they need God's help. They need God's love, and maybe you're the thing that can help them break through, but you got to get a breakthrough first. All right, if that's you tonight, I want to pray for you. On the count of three, stand up. 1, 2, 3, stand up. Awesome, 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 awesome. Awesome. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Oh, come on. Man. These here are champions right here. These are champions right here. Not that the rest of you aren't champions, but I want to celebrate this because that takes guts. All right. Father, I pray for these who have stood right now, and I break off this hold on their lives of not trusting people. Father, I ask for a spirit of forgiveness. Right now, I want all of you to think about the person or persons who have wronged you that you cannot release. I want you to think of them by name, and I want you to start to pray blessings over their lives. I want you to start to think about God blessing them. And that may be hard for you, but listen, you need to make a practice of this, because God wants to bless their socks off. God wants to save them. God wants to renew them. God wants to help them out of the bitterness and the pattern that they're living in. And this may just start helping them get in that direction, is what God wants to do through your life. Father, I just pray that you would give us the strength to forgive, that you would give us the strength to love, to receive love, to trust. Oh, tonight, Father, I pray for a revelation of your love for every one of those who have stood and the rest of us, that, Lord, you would just show us how in love you are with us. Your word tells us that you dance like a top in the presence of your people, that you rejoice, you spin over us, you love us, you can't wait to be with us, and you can't wait to come back and marry us. Jesus, that's what you said. And we look forward to that. But right now, I pray that their communion with you would be restored. And I break that stronghold in the name of Jesus Christ right now from them not being able to have fellowship and relationships with people. Right now, tonight, it changes. Tonight, those chains are broken. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray tonight. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I am so thrilled. All right. Hey, if you